So in order to understand whether someone is speaking in God's name, we first have to know what is the character of God. What is the character of God? And if they speak in God's name, and it's not in keeping with the character of God, then we know that they are not actually speaking on behalf of God. It's not something that they gave him.
That's just ahead on this episode of Guerrilla Christianity.
For the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at When God Speaks, title of our sermon series, When God Speaks. And throughout the Bible and throughout the history of mankind, God has spoken to his people. God has spoken to us. In the first week, we asked, are you listening? Are you listening? Because God calls to us, but he will only speak when we are prepared to receive his message for us. We thought about the 10-year-old Samuel, who God called to him and said, Samuel, Samuel. But he didn't speak his message to him until Samuel said to him, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. And next we looked at God's message to us. What is God's message to us? We found that most often God's message is one of repentance, that God speaks to us when we are straying from the path that he commands us to walk in. And we do well to listen when God reminds us to get back on to the path, that we are traveling in the wrong direction and we need to turn and turn again to God. Today we're looking at one of the ways that God speaks, and that is through a person that we call a prophet. And how can we know when someone speaks for God? Because they speak in God's name. So we've looked at this, we've read this text from Deuteronomy chapter 18, and that's where we're going to be today. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Lord, we want to hear your voice, and we want to know that the message delivered today is in your name. And so, God, it's by your Holy Spirit that we may honor the word that you speak to us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first, a little background into the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy is a sermon given at the end of Moses' ministry to Israel and just before they enter into the promised land. Basically, what Moses does in the book of Deuteronomy is he kind of recaps and rehashes everything that they had been through for the past 40 years. And why did he do that? Because, if you remember, the reason that the Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years was not just, God didn't just say, you're going to wander in the desert for 40 years. They didn't get lost because God was leading them, But rather, God kept them in the wilderness for 40 years for a couple of reasons. Number one, he wanted to stress to them the fact that he is providing for them. And they were radically dependent upon God's provision while they were in the wilderness. They couldn't provide for themselves, and God provided for them. He gave them bread from heaven so that they might eat. When they said they wanted meat, he sent them quail. We were told, waist high, waist deep, these quails came into the camp, And so God provided for them in the wilderness. He provided water for them. Moses hit a rock, and the rock gushed forth water, So it was to remind them of their provision, but also it was not really a punishment per se. But in a way it was, because what had happened was Moses led them right up to the promised land, and they sent in 12 spies, and those 12 spies came back and they brought some of the fruit of the land. It was this one branch or one cluster of grapes from a vine in the promised land, and it was so great that they had to put it on a pole between two guys to carry it, And they said, this is, it's indeed a land flowing with milk and honey, right? And there were two men, Caleb and Joshua, and they said, let's go right now and take this land. And the rest of the spies said, oh, we can't. We can't take the land because they're strong people and they live in fortified cities and they are the descendants of the giants and they're great warriors and there's no way we could possibly defeat them. Forgetting, of course, that God was going with them. God was on their side. And if God said, go and I will be with you, who could stand up against God, right? Or as Paul says in one of his epistles, if God is for us, who can be against us? And so they turned their backs. They gave a bad report to the people. This is a land that swallows up their people, you know. And the giants are living there and we can't possibly. And the people were like, oh, my goodness. They actually said to Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Were there no graves in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to the wilderness and to die? You know, that we will go into this land and they will slaughter us and they will take our children as slaves and they will, you know, and all this stuff. And they didn't trust in God. And this is what God said to them. He said, because you didn't believe what I said to you, your children, whom you said would be taken as slaves, they're the ones who will go into the promised land. But for 40 years, you're going to wander in the wilderness, and you're going to die in the wilderness, and you won't see it, but your children will. That's a harsh thing. That's why Moses was leading his people for 40 years in the wilderness. Not just, you know, because he didn't ask for directions, as some people say. But the fact is, here we are in Deuteronomy, just before the people would go into the promised land. And even Moses wasn't allowed to go. So Moses knew he wasn't going to go with them. Think about the life of Moses, though. I mean, we know the story. He was born a Hebrew. His mother, in order to rescue him, put him into a basket, set him on the Nile River. He was taken out of the river by Pharaoh's daughter and raised in Pharaoh's palace, basically. He knew his background, though. He knew that he was a Hebrew. And so one day, when he was 40 years old, he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave, and he killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. The very next day, he saw two Hebrews fighting, and he tried to break up the fight, and they said to him, what are you going to do to us? You're going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? And as soon as he said that, he realized that his crime was known, and so he fled. He ran away. And for 40 years, he ran away. When he was 80 years old, now he's a shepherd in the land of Midian. He's living among the Ishmaelites. And he goes up onto the mountain of God, and God meets him there and tells him, I have heard the anguish of my children, and I'm going to deliver them, and you are going to be the deliverer. And so Moses puts up some objections. He says, I don't want to do it. I'm not good enough. I don't have enough. I can't speak for you. But eventually he succumbs to God's will, and he says, okay, I'll go. Now he's 80 years old, okay? He's 80 years old, and now God is calling him into service, okay? Now, he's been leading the people in the wilderness for 40 years. How old does that make him now? He's 120 years old, okay? He's at the end of his life. He knows he's not going to take the people into the promised land, but get this. He's giving this sermon. This Deuteronomy is... The word Deuteronomy actually means second law. It's a second telling. He's kind of recapping everything that's happened up until then. And why? Well, because the entire generation of the people that he led out of Egypt have all died in the wilderness. And the children of those people are all that is left. Okay? Now, we're talking about 600,000 warriors, basically. About 2 million people in total, all right? But all of them were too young to remember all the things that happened. Think about people living in England today, okay? How old do you have to be to remember what life was like before Queen Elizabeth was on the throne, okay? She's been on the throne for 60 years, okay? In order for someone to remember what it was like before she was the queen, they'd have to be at least 80, okay? And so most people in England don't even remember what life was like before Queen Elizabeth, okay? It's like that with the people in Israel. None of the people who are going into the Promised Land remember what it was like before Moses was leading them. They don't remember what the slavery was like. They don't remember what life was like before Moses was their leader. They've only ever known Moses as their leader. And now Moses is going to die before they go into the Promised Land. And so Moses wants to assure them that God is not going to leave them alone. That even though he's not going to be their leader, God will raise up for them another leader. Okay? Now we have to ask ourselves this. What does it mean to speak in someone's name? To speak in someone's name. Okay? Because let's just say, for example, Ralph says to me, I have a message for Earl. Okay? And here's the message that I want you to give to Earl. And so I go to Earl and I say, Earl, I have a message for you from Ralph. Now, how can Earl know whether the message actually came from Ralph or if it's just something that I made up? Well, is it something in keeping with the character of Ralph, for example? Okay? Is it something that Ralph would actually say or do? Or is it something that's completely out of character with what Ralph would say? What if I went to Earl and said, Earl, Ralph gave me a message to give to you, and that message is this. He wants you to give me $100. Now, is that something that Ralph would say? You know? Well, maybe, but I don't know. No. But no, that's the thing. I mean, if Earl would just go, right, you know? That's not something that Ralph would say. So even though I'm using Ralph's name, Earl can tell, because he knows Ralph, Earl can tell that that's not something that Ralph would ask for, right? Okay. So in order to understand whether someone is speaking in God's name, we first have to know what is the character of God. What is the character of God? And if they speak in God's name, and it's not in keeping with the character of God, then we know that they are not actually speaking on behalf of God. It's not something that they gave him. Now, how can we know the character of God? We have here in our hands this record of what is in God's heart, of what is God's will. We call it the Bible. It's 66 books written down for us that God inspired through the Holy Spirit, and in it is the character and heart of God. And if somebody speaks a word that is not in keeping with the character of God in the Bible, then we can just say, that's not the character of God. You're not speaking on behalf of God if you're not speaking in a way, in a manner that is within the character of God as revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. And so in verse 15 he says, and again this is Moses speaking to the people of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of you, from your brethren, like unto me, and unto him ye shall hearken. Okay, now there's a couple of things there. First of all, he's assuring them that even though he's not going to be there, somebody will be there to speak on behalf of God. But then he has like this little backhanded comment at the end of it. Unto him you shall hearken. You're going to listen to him. And he's basically saying, you're going to listen to him, right? Not like you listen to me, but you're going to listen to him. Because in fact, the reason they wandered in the desert for 40 years is that they wouldn't listen to Moses, even though Moses did in fact speak on behalf of God, in God's name. They wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't listen to him when he said, we're going into the promised land. They wouldn't listen to him. You know, how many times they rebelled against him. I love it when they said, were there no graves in Egypt that you had to bring us out into the wilderness to die? You know, that's a really awesome thing to say to your leader. You know, you're going to kill us. Your leadership is so bad that we're going to die out here in the desert. Thank you very much, Moses. You're a terrible leader. You know, Moses is only doing what God is commanding him to do, but he's doing it faithfully and truthfully. Now, there was one time when Moses did not do what God called him to do, and he did it out of frustration. God said to him, speak to this rock, and I will bring forth water from it. And what did Moses do? He goes in front of the people and he says, why are you always asking for water? You want water? And he takes his staff and he hits the rock. And out of the rock comes water. And God says, because you didn't believe me, you will not go into the promised land. Because he didn't trust him. Because he didn't just speak to the rock. He had to make a big show and hit it with a stick and everything else. And it seems like a little thing. But when a prophet is speaking on behalf of God, they have to be very careful and very sure that everything that they say and do is in keeping with God's character. So, he says, the Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of you, from your brethren, according to all that thou desired of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let us not hear again the voice of the Lord our God, neither let us see this great fire any more, that we die not. And what he's talking about is this. All the way back in Exodus chapter 19, right before they received the Ten Commandments, we read that on the morning of the third day there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled, okay? And rightly so, because they knew that they were in the presence of God. They were trembling in fear, you know? Why? Because when you find yourself in the presence of God, all of your sins, all of your past indiscretions are suddenly laid bare before a holy God. And everything that you ever did that went against God's word all of a sudden comes to mind and says, oh my gosh. And now you're in the presence of this God and he's shaking the mountain and he's thundering and there's this trumpet that sounds, right? The Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. There they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like a smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly, and the sound of a trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. What do we read in the Psalms today? In Psalm 111, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's absolutely wise to fear God. Now, I'm not talking about cowering in fear, because God invites us to be in relationship with him. He wants us to love him like a loving and doting father. But let me ask you this. I'll tell you from my own experience that when I broke my father's rules, you better believe that there was some fear, okay? And when my dad, you know, we're talking about a different time. Nowadays, you don't do this. But when my dad took that belt off, you know, there was fear. Believe me, there was fear, you know? And that's the beginning of wisdom. It is wise to fear God. Why? Because He's a holy God. He calls us to holiness. And when we stray from that, it's pretty wise to remember who we are in relationship to God. So, now, Moses goes to the top of the mountain. After he receives the Ten Commandments, we read this in Exodus chapter 20. Now, when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and he stood afar off and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." And that's exactly what Moses is saying here in Deuteronomy. He's saying, you're the ones who asked this. You said, don't let God speak to us directly or we will die. Okay? Verse 17. Lord said to me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So, first of all, he says he's going to raise up a prophet from among their brethren, from among them, from one who is descended from Abraham. Now, does that mean that even today, the only prophets that there are in the world are the ones who are Jewish, who were descended directly from Abraham by blood? No, because in Genesis, God told Abraham, through you I will bless all nations. And in fact, anyone who follows the God of Abraham through our Lord Jesus Christ is, for all intents and purposes, a descendant of Abraham. Okay? A spiritual descendant of Abraham. And so there are people, even today, who speak in God's name. You know, God is still speaking to us through His prophets. You know, and anyone who speaks in God's name speaks in the character of God, speaking on behalf of God. We do well to hear them and to listen, because in verse 19, he says, if you don't listen to the words of the prophet, you know, God says, when the prophet speaks, he speaks on behalf of God, and so the people must heed the word as though God Himself speaks it. Just because there is an intermediary, just because there is a person speaking on behalf of God, doesn't make it any less God's word. Okay? And so he says in verse 20, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. This is a dire warning against using God's name to get your own agenda through, okay? To sit there and say, you know, I would really like a swimming pool in this church. So, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, your God. Give us some money so we can have a pool. Does that sound like something God would say? And not to call anybody out, but I mean, how many times have you seen this on TV? Oh, the Lord wants our ministry to have a private jet. We need a couple $1 million. Send us your money. They do it all the time. It's a real shame that anybody would do that in God's name. But people listen to them. Why? Because why would they not? They're trusted servants. And so God puts this little provision in here, and I think it's very meaningful. The prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of any other gods, even that prophet shall die. And then he says, well, how do you know? How can you know when somebody is speaking and is not in my name? Well, he says, if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When the prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, That is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of them. In recent times, we've seen, quote unquote, prophets, self-proclaimed prophets speaking, quote unquote, in God's name. But they say something that doesn't come to pass. And so they're speaking presumptuously. And God says, you don't have to fear them. You don't have to fear them. Don't listen to someone if they're speaking and saying something that is not in keeping with God's will. Okay? And so, and we can know it. We can know it. You know, if God wanted us to have a private jet, then why did Jesus walk everywhere he went? You know? God could have given him a private jet even 2,000 years ago. You know, God made the worlds. He could have just said, here's a Boeing for Jesus to fly around. He didn't do that. You know? So, we need to take it very seriously when someone speaks in God's name. And we need to be very cautious when we ourselves speak a word in the name of God. First, when the Holy Spirit gives us a word to speak to our friends or to our neighbors or to our family members, we need to be faithful to speak all that God instructs us, adding nothing and leaving nothing out, no matter how difficult it might be to do so. When God speaks, it's often a corrective word in order to bring someone back onto the path of righteousness. But second, we must be careful to know the character of God when we speak in his name and when someone else speaks in his name. Because throughout the ages, many have presumed to speak in God's name, and yet their word does not come true, because God does not honor the word of those who do not speak in his name. And so through prayer, through seeking God's will in God's word, in the Bible, we can indeed discern when someone speaks in God's name. And we can be sure that we are speaking in God's name if indeed we are speaking a word that is in keeping with the character of God. Sometimes God speaks to us and calls us to say something in his name. We need to be faithful and ready to speak all that God gives us, and nothing more and nothing less. Like the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There is a truth in God. And we find that in his name. Let's pray. Almighty God, our loving Father in heaven, we are grateful that you have spoken to us through the prophets, through the writers of the books of the Bible. That in reading these books, we may know your heart and know what is spoken to us in your name. May we continue to seek your will and your heart through your holy word. And may we silence every voice that is not your own. May your Holy Spirit convict us and guide us in all that we do, so that everything we do may bring glory to you in your holy name. And this we pray in the mighty and incomparable name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service at 9 a.m. and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Now, if our message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? And consider sharing it on the social media platform of your choice. You can also access this podcast through the Podbean app on Android or on iTunes. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep listening, keep growing, and I pray that God will continue to bless you in your journey of faith. Amen.